This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about five ways to disobey God. We need to know how it is that we can disobey God so that we can avoid that. We want to be someone who obeys God, and when Jesus comes again, we're going to be rewarded for that obedience. We don't want to be disobeying God and then be punished for that disobedience. You know, this morning on the program, when we look at these five ways to disobey God, somebody might think, well, that's kind of negative or depressing to talk about all the ways that you can make God unhappy. But look at it from a positive standpoint. We're trying to find out what we can do to live each day to be obedient. And one way that we can learn to be obedient and be rewarded for that is to learn what to stay away from. And we do that in all walks of life. Anytime we have various kinds of instructions, we are told what to stay away from. There are certain things you shouldn't do when you're cooking. Certain things you shouldn't do when you're cleaning. There's certain things that you don't do when you're out cutting the grass. There's a lot of things in life where it's good to learn what to avoid. And although that might be negative in nature, the whole purpose is to learn how to be pleasing to God each day. So we're going to look at five ways to disobey God. And we need to understand that there's more than one way to disobey God. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, speaking to Christians who are in danger of falling away from Christ, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which were heard, lest haply we drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Notice the author says, every transgression and disobedience received a just or fair recompense of reward. Every transgression and disobedience. No matter which one it was, no matter how many there were, no matter what kind there were, they were all met with a fair and just recompense of reward. And so God is fair and just. But I want us to notice that there are different ways to disobey God this morning. You know, the word disobedience, the concept is all over the Bible from beginning to end, from Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, all the way to the book of Revelation and many places in between. But what's interesting is the actual word itself is not really found that often in Scripture, only about 10 times. And depending upon what version you use, in some versions it's found only in the New Testament about 10 times. You would think that it would be mentioned everywhere, but it's mentioned enough. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2 is one of those places. It's mentioned enough to remind us of the importance to stay away from that. In the same book, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 6, the Israelites, many of them, did not enter in to Canaan land, their promised rest land, because of disobedience. Hebrews 4 verse 6, "Seeing therefore it remains that some should enter thereinto, and they to whom the good tidings were before preached," Israel, "failed to enter in because of disobedience." And verse 11, "Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience." We don't need to follow the example of disobedience of the unfaithful and unbelieving Israelites as they were going through the wilderness and never made it to Canaan land. Don't follow that example. There's some places where disobedience is used in the New Testament in the context of someone who is in sin. They're not a Christian. And their disobedience is going to be judged, and they need to have forgiveness of sins. Romans 11 and verse 32 is one of those. For God shut up all unto disobedience, that he might have mercy upon all. If you go back to Romans chapter 11, just a couple of verses earlier, talking about Jews who won't come to Christ, for as in time past they were disobedient to God, but now have obtained mercy by their disobedience. So, God is merciful to the disobedient. They need to come to Christ. Another place where that is used in the context of people who are in sin and they need to come to Jesus, they're living in the world, they're disobedient to God, is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, where Paul talks about the Ephesian Christians before they became Christians. He says, "You were dead through your trespasses and sins, wherein you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience." So there's an attitude. The devil gets an attitude in us of disobeying God, and we need to come to Jesus Christ. But in this same book, there's also a context in which disobedience is used for Christians who lapse back into sin. They can disobey. In the same book, you turn over to chapter 5 of Ephesians, in verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things," the sinful things that he had just been talking about, fornication and uncleanness and covetousness and so forth, "because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience." The same thing in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 6. This is the context of Christians who are disobeying. Another context would be 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. So, whether we are in sin and have never come to Christ and we are in disobedience, God is going to judge that, but he's merciful. Paul says in Romans 11, 30 and 32, he's merciful. He wants you to come. You have to obey the gospel. But it's also used in the context of Christians who have sin in their lives. They're disobedient, and the wrath of God is going to come upon them. So that's very serious. And then Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, where it talks about how that sin and disobedience entered into the world through one man, talking about Adam and Eve. And through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. And so sin and disobedience entered into the world. And back in the same chapter, starting in verses 12 and following, we don't inherit Adam's sin, but when each person sins like Adam sins, spiritual death passes to all mankind when each one sins like Adam sins. But disobedience entered into the world through Adam and Eve. And so these are the places in which you have disobedience mentioned in the New Testament. So let's look at the ways in which that can happen. The five ways that a person can disobey God. First of all, by doing what God has said not to do. We do what God says not to do. And that's basically what lawlessness is. We're doing what God says not to do. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, chapter 3 and verse 4, "Everyone that does sin does also lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." In chapter 5 and verse 17, "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death." When we do what God has said not to do, when we act without God's law, when we are unrighteous instead of righteous. Adam and Eve did this. They were told not to eat of the tree. of good and evil, and yet they went ahead and did that. Lot and his family were told to not look back, and Lot's wife looked back, Genesis 19:17 and then verse 26. The prophet in 1 Kings 13, do not go back the same way, and yet he did. And so some people will do what they are told not to do. This is very common. Some of the things that people are not to do in the Old Testament, Israel was told not to do certain things in the Ten Commandments. Several of those are in the thou shalt not formation, and yet they did them anyway. Today, Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, and yet some people do that anyway. So, number one, by doing what God has said not to do. The devil comes along and says, don't worry about that. God is trying to keep you from something that's good and fun and enjoyable. Go ahead and do it anyway. Think about yourself. Do what you want to do. Don't listen to God. And so he uses those temptations in that way. And that happens a lot. Growing up, you might recall as a child when your parents told you not to do something, that was one of the very things you wanted to do. You couldn't wait to do what you were told not to do. And that's very common. But we've got to trust God that when he tells us something, that it's for our best interest and for our good. We don't have to question that. We don't have to be thinking, well, what good is he trying to keep me from? We just simply need to say, he knows what is best. He's told me not to go there. He's told me not to do that. He's told me not to say that, not to think that. And I'm going to trust that that's what is best for me. Another way that people can disobey God is the opposite, by failing to do what God has said to do. God has said to do it, but we don't do it. This would be James chapter 4 and verse 17. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Or Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? So this is the opposite of the first one. God wants us to do something, but we fail to do it. This is the problem with Israel that we talked about earlier in Hebrews chapter 4. They were told to go up into the land and take the land of Canaan. But when the 10 spies came back and said, well, you know, we're like grasshoppers in their sight and we can't do it and we're too small and that kind of thing, we learned that they did not want to go in and do what they were supposed to do. And it's a shame. And it happens even to this very day. Joshua and Caleb said, we can go in. We can go up. We can take it. God delights in us. He wants to give us something that is good. But the 10 spies got many of the people to thinking, nope, we can't do that. Jonah did not want to do what God told him to do. He was told to go to Nineveh and preach, and he literally ran in the opposite direction. Instead of going east, he went west and got on a boat and crossed the Mediterranean Sea and was going over to Tarshish, which is probably located in modern-day Spain, literally going in the opposite direction. The Pharisees in Luke chapter 7 and verse 30 refused to be baptized by John, even though the publicans and harlots and sinners were doing that. These religious people didn't want to stoop so low as to be baptized by John's baptism, and so they refused to do that. It happens today. There are people who will not repent and be baptized, Acts 2:38. There are people who will not take the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week, Acts 20 and 17. There are people who won't give of their contribution, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. There are people who will not pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. There's people who will not study the Word of God and handle it properly, 2 Timothy 2, 15. There's people who won't teach, Hebrews 5, 12. There's people who won't take care of others, the orphan and the widow and others, James 1, 27. And we could just go on and on and on. We couldn't even begin to list all of the things that people fail to do that God wants them to do. Is it laziness? Possibly. Is it rebellion? Possibly. Is it human wisdom saying, well, I don't need to do what God says? Possibly. Is it we think we're better? Well, whatever the case, why are we failing to do what God wants us to do? Some people say, well, you know, I fail to do what God wants me to do because it's just too hard. No, John said in 1 John chapter 5 that his commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. 1 John 5, 3. So we just simply need to set aside the excuses and put aside all the human reasoning and come to terms with doing what God wants us to do. Friends, we're learning the ways that people are disobedient to God. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2, every transgression and disobedience, everyone in number and everyone in kind will be punished by God. What's another way that a person can disobey God? Well, a person can disobey God by adding to God's word. Adding to God's word. We're going to do more than what God wants. This principle is found several times in Scripture, both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Here's just a couple of examples of that in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I commanded you, neither shall you diminish from it or take from it, that you may keep the commandments of Jehovah your God, which I command you. And John says in Revelation 22, 18, that one is not to add to or take from what was written there. And yet, people do that. So let's take both of those, adding to and then taking from the Word of God. Adding to the Word of God. Some people are not content with what God has said. They want to do that plus more. They think they have a better way. They think that they have more wisdom than God. They think that what they're going to add is needful and helpful, and we've got to help God out. Well, an example of this, I think, in the Old Testament would be Moses when he was told to speak to the rock in order to bring water out so that God could give water to the complaining Israelites at Meribah. This is one of several times where they're complaining in the wilderness. God is long-suffering and merciful even to complainers and wanted to provide them some water. And in verse 8, he's told to speak to the rock, assemble the congregation and speak to the rock. But when he comes time to do it, verse 11, he smote the rock twice with his rod. And he's punished for it later. He's told that he did not give glory to God. And he is not allowed to enter in to the Canaan land. Verse 24, he said, you rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah. Rebelled against the word. By doing what? How? Ask yourself how. By adding to what God said. And somebody says, well, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. And Moses was not allowed to enter into Canaan land. He was allowed to see it from afar. He died and was buried without going into Canaan land. It's a very big deal. In 2 John 9 through 11, we're not to go beyond the doctrine of Christ. We're not to go outside of the doctrine of Christ. John says if we do that, we do not have God in the sense of have fellowship with God. Whosoever goes onward and abides not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. We've got to be content to abide in the teaching of Christ. A lot of times people will add to the Word of God. There were some Jewish Christians in Acts chapter 15 that wanted to add to the gospel. They said in Acts 15 and verse 5, you have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses in addition to being baptized into Christ in order to be saved. And they went out teaching that, and in Acts 15, 24, when the apostles in the church addressed this, they said, we have heard that some trouble you, subverting your souls to whom we gave no commandment. They didn't have permission to add these extra stipulations to the plan of salvation. And they were troubling people by doing that. It's not simply a no big deal. It's a very big deal when we add to the Word of God. You know, people will come along today and they will add instrumental music to singing. Christians simply sang, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. But sometime after the first century, instruments were added. Some people will add denominational names to Christian. They were simply called Christians, Acts 11:26. But today we have Baptist Christians and Methodist Christians and Presbyterian Christians and Catholic Christians and Mormon Christians and Jehovah's Witness Christians and Lutheran Christians and Christian Science Christians, etc. Just simply be called what Christians were called. We call ourselves what Christians were called in the first century. Christians. Some people, even among churches of Christ, will add to the gospel. They'll add other things to try to get people in. They'll add social and recreational things. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. We're not a soup kitchen and a recreational facility and a voting place. All kinds of things get added to the New Testament work of the church. Some will even have religious holidays. In Acts 20 and 7, Christians came together every first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. And yet today we have holidays that have been added, Christmas and Easter and other kinds of things that have been added to the Word of God. It's easy to add to the Word of God. And on the flip side of that coin, number four, a fourth way to be disobedient to God, is by taking away from God's Word. So Deuteronomy 4:2 and Revelation 22:18 that we referenced earlier, do not add to or diminish or take from the Word of God. You can do that too. You can say, I'm going to do less than what God says. And I would say one of the greatest examples of that today, friends, is Matthew 16:16. When Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He had told his disciples to go preach the gospel to all creation. He that believeth, that is, believeth that gospel that is preached, and is baptized shall be saved. And yet faith-only people come along today and say, he that believeth shall be saved. Wait a minute, it doesn't say that. It says, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. 2 + 2 = 4, not 2 = 4. It takes both belief and baptism, and yet faith only is like that. In fact, other things are also left out besides baptism, such as repentance or confessing that Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10:9-10. But baptism is one of the main things that's left out. we're taking away from God's word. So don't add to it or don't take from it. And then last of all, a fifth way that a person can disobey God is to substitute something else for what God said. Substitute something else. I think I have a better way. I like my plan over God's plan. It's the 21st century, so we have to update things. I know better than God. The year is 2023, and we're going to do this and that in religion today because we're so far removed from Bible times that I need to update it, and I need to renovate it, and I need to change it. And so we end up, we're not upset about what God wants. We just want something different. So we substitute what we want. Nadab and Abihu did this in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, when they offered up fire that was not commanded them. Fire was a part of the sacrificial system, but theirs was a strange fire. It was something different. Naaman suggested this with regard to being healed of his leprosy when he was told to dip 7 times in the Jordan. He said, well, why not the rivers of the Abana and Pharpar? Are they not better rivers to dip in? He wanted to substitute a different river. And he had to learn, no, I've got to go dip in that Jordan River. And when he did, he came clean. People do that all the time. They want to substitute something else. And so people have come along, and instead of immersion in water, which baptism is, the Greek word baptizo, the verb, means to dip or to immerse in water. But people have come along later and they've substituted sprinkling or pouring a little water. They have substituted that for immersion. The Mormons have substituted water in the Lord's Supper for the fruit of the vine, grape juice. There's all kinds of substitutions going on. Instead of just simply doing what we're supposed to do. And we've got to stop that. And it's very common today. So friends, every transgression and disobedience will receive a just recompense of reward. 5 ways to disobey God. 1, by doing what God has said not to do. 2, by failing to do what God has said to do. 3, by adding to God's word. 4, by taking away from God's word. And 5, by substituting something for what God has said. Friends, let's simply do what God says. Samuel had the attitude that we need to have. 1 Samuel 3:9, speak, Lord, thy servant hears. Jesus had the attitude, not my will, but thy will be done. Luke 22:42. That needs to be our attitude in all things. And friends, if I can help you to be obedient to God in all of these ways and not disobedient, how pleasing we will be when the Lord comes again. And if I can help you to do that, please contact us. Thank you for listening today, and have a good day.